Well, good morning. This morning we're actually going to be wrapping up our current series called Strong Courage Over Fear. Actually, I've really enjoyed preaching through the series. And here's the thing I hope you all have realized from the series. God has given each and every one of you big dreams for your life. Actually, God-sized dreams. And he also has God-sized dreams for this church. We just have to be willing to step up to the task. And therein lies the problem, right? Because the minute we see these huge dreams, we begin shutting them down and writing them off before they even get off the ground. Well, I can't do that. That's impossible. How could we do that? We don't have the money to do that. The minute God asks us to step out in faith and chase God-sized dreams, we don't see an opportunity for God to show up and show off. We see an impossibility, right? And never take the first step. Our theme verse for the series is Joshua 1:9, and we've talked a lot about this verse. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And here's the thing. When we face something that seems impossible, we can be fearless in our obedience to what God has called us to do because we know that the outcome doesn't rely on us and our own abilities. The outcome relies on God, right? The outcome relies on God, not anything that we can do. And because of that, we can have strength and we can have courage when God calls us to step out and chase God-sized dreams. Now, there may be some of us here who are saying, I'm older. I'm tired, and I put in my time, and I'm ready for a break. I just can't do anything more. I get that. But as long as you still have breath in your lungs, God still has a plan for your life. And that's exactly what we talked about last week. We said, do not give up or lose hope. The end is worth the fight. Joshua 13:1 says, when Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him, you are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. This is the scripture we talked about last week. Joshua, you are old. Actually, you're really old. But you still got work to do. You still have life in your lungs. There's still large areas of land to be taken over. We better get to work. And I can't help but to think that God has the same message for some of us. You are older, you are tired. You're about to give up. You are barely hanging on with little hope, and God's whispering to you, but you still got work to do. You still have work to do. And guess what? I'll be right there with you wherever you go. So if God has given us this command to be strong and courageous, and he has said that he will be with us wherever we go, and if the end result doesn't rely on our own abilities but instead relies on God, what are we waiting for? Why are we so scared? Are you afraid you're going to disappoint God if you fail? Because I'm here to tell you, God will be more disappointed in you for never trying rather than stepping out in faith and failing. We should be faithful to God because he is always faithful to us. During the presidential campaign season, whenever you say that, it always gets a little bit uncomfortable around right now these days. It's easy to question the validity of promises candidates make, isn't it? I mean, do they mean what they're saying? Is that promise actually realistic? Can they actually accomplish that promise? You with me? I mean, it reminds me of when elementary kids are running for school president, and they promise things like, if you elect me, I promise no more homework, and we'll have recess all day long. Right? Unfortunately, sometimes candidates make promises or promise more than they can deliver on, right? And we've seen that throughout history. And while some leaders keep their promises and others don't, we can always trust God to do what he said he would do. Charles Spurgeon told this story of his grandfather, James, and his faith in God. He had a large family and a very small income, but he loved his Lord, and he would not have given up his preaching of the gospel for anything. One day, the cow on which the family relied for milk for the children suddenly died. James Spurgeon's wife was greatly concerned, but he said, "God said he would provide, and I believe he could send us 50 cows if he pleased." On that same day, a group met in London, James Spurgeon did not know. They wanted to help meet the needs of poor pastors. They raised a large sum of money and began sending it to different pastors in need to help their families. When they reached the end of the list, there were still 5 pounds left. One man suggested sending it to James Spurgeon. Another said, "No, let's not just send 5 pounds, let's add 5 more to go with it." Others joined in, and that day, after his cow died, James Spurgeon received 20 pounds in the mail. I don't know how much that is in England money, but maybe a lot. You can trust God to keep his promises and provide for your needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." God is such a faithful God who takes care of his children. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we've been kind of walking through Joshua, the book of Joshua. Excuse me. And we're to Joshua chapter 24 this morning. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15. I know it's kind of long, but stick with me. There's a lot of good stuff in these 15 verses. And it goes like this, and you can follow along even on the screen. It says, "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago your forefathers, included Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Cana, and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. When I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued them with the chariots and horsemen as far as the Red Sea. But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the desert for a long time. I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived east of the Jordan. They fought against you, but I gave them into your hands. I destroyed them from you before you, and you took possession of their land. When Balak, son of Zippor, the king of Moab, prepared to fight against Israel, he sent for Balaam, son of Beor, to put a curse on you. But I would not listen to Balaam. So he blessed you again and again, and I delivered you out of his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites." That's a lot of ites, right? "But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also, 2 Amorite kings, you did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So here we have Joshua. He's nearing the end of his life. And Joshua calls together all the leaders, and he gives them this farewell address. And he's telling them what God has said. And in this farewell address, we see Joshua encouraging Israel to move forward in what God has for them by looking back at the past and all that God has done for them leading up to this point. You with me? Like Joshua's literally saying, hey, we still got to push forward, and we can because look at all that God has done for us. This is what God's saying he's done for us. Like we're actually living in land where we did not build anything, we didn't conquer anything, and we're eating the stuff that we didn't even plant. God is so faithful. And because God is so faithful, we should be continuing to move forward. Joshua is literally encouraging Israel to continue to push forward and pursue God and the dreams he has for them by reiterating all the things that God has done in their lives to this point. A knowledge of their roots is very important to the Jews because they are God's chosen people with a destiny to fulfill in this world. And I can't help but to think that you are God's chosen with a destiny to fulfill in this world right here in Bryan, Ohio. The place Joshua gave this address was a place called Shechem. Now, Shechem was an ideal location for this moving farewell address by Israel's great leader, Joshua. It's a great place because it was at Shechem that God promised Abraham that his descendants would inherit this land. And there Jacob built an altar. Shechem was located between Mount Abel and Mount Gerizim, where the people of Israel had reaffirmed their commitment to the Lord. Shechem was indeed holy ground to the Israelites. This moment where Joshua speaks to the nation is a fulfillment of a promise God made hundreds of years ago to Abraham. What does that mean for you and I? It means that if God says he'll do it, you can trust that he will. One of the key words from these 15 verses is the word serve. The Greek word for serve is used 15 times in this address. God gave them their land and would bless them in their land if they loved him and served him. And oftentimes we think it the other way around, don't we? God, you do this for me first and then I'll do this for you, right? But the thing is, if we want the blessing, we just need to love him and serve him as he calls each and every person to do. And as we are faithful to God, he will be faithful to us. I've said this before, and hear me out on this. I think prayer requests are great. We do need to be praying for each other and lifting our requests to God. But just as important, and may I say often neglected, is sharing our praises with one another. Do you spend the same amount of time praising God for the miracles he has performed? You need to keep a record of the times God has answered a prayer, spoken to you, fulfilled a promise, or performed a miracle in your life so that you never forget. And it's the looking back on all those things that fuels us to move forward with those God-sized dreams. Because we have witnessed God's faithfulness in our lives in the past, if God has said he will do it, then we can only believe and trust that he will. Here's the thing, when God makes a promise, he sticks to it. He won't try and weasel his way out by attempting to find a loophole. You with me? When I was thinking about that idea this week, I thought about the story of Tom Sawyer. We know the story of Tom Sawyer, right? Remember when Tom Sawyer got in trouble for sneaking back into his house late one night? And you remember what his punishment was? Anybody? Anybody remember what his punishment was? Yeah, he had to paint the white picket fence, right? But good old Tom Sawyer found a way to weasel on out of that punishment, didn't he? By convincing the neighborhood kids that his punishment wasn't work at all, but it was pure fun. I mean, one of the kids came up to me. He's like, I'm going swimming. Too bad you can't come with me. You got this work to do. And Tom Sawyer's like, work? Who says this is work? I'm having fun. And the kid's like, you're having fun? I want to do that. Come on, Tom, let me paint that fence. And he convinces Tom to let him paint the fence. So all the neighborhood kids wanted to enjoy the fun as well. And they paid Tom Sawyer with some of their prize possessions if he would let them in on the fun. And good old Tom Sawyer weaseled his way on out of that punishment. But this is not how God operates. When God makes a promise, he sticks to it. So how do we apply this passage to our life? Well, I think the big thing is take the words of verse 15 seriously. But if serving the Lord seems desirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. Joshua made it clear that the people of Israel had to make a decision to serve the Lord God of Israel. There could be no neutrality. There's no neutral session there. But if they served the Lord, then they would have to get rid of all the false gods that some of them were secretly worshiping. Even after the great experience of the Exodus, some of the Jews still sacrificed to the gods of Egypt. Joshua wasn't suggesting that the people could choose to worship the false god of the land and God would accept it. For there was no other option but to serve Jehovah, the one true God. Being a wise and spiritual man, Joshua knew that everybody must worship something or someone, whether they realized it or not, because humanity is incurably religious. You with me? We're going to serve something. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I often think sometimes of the parents who have said to me, well, the reason my kids don't come to church is because I don't want to force them to come to church. Your kids are going to worship something. And it may not be the God of Israel, Jehovah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And your kids need to realize that. We are incurably religious. We are going to serve something. If the Jews didn't worship the true God, they would end up worshiping the false gods of the wicked nations in Cana. His point was that they couldn't do both. It's either one or the other. Are you taking the words in verse 15 seriously? But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Who are you serving? You must serve God faithfully, knowing he will always be faithful to you. Just like God kept his promise to Israel, he will keep his promise to you as well. As we wrap up this series, I want to show a video. And this video has to do with being a people who celebrate. And I think oftentimes people look at Christians and just think, man, what a bore. These people look so bored. I think sometimes we act as we're a people that are serving a God who still is in the tomb. You with me? But we don't. We serve a God who raised from the dead. And we get to spend eternity with. Going back to what I said earlier, we just don't celebrate enough about what God is doing in our own lives. Gary Deal from our national office wrote this. He said, many times as I look around the church on Sunday morning, there are not many times that I see smiles as people worship. I often think, why don't we look like we are enjoying worship? Myself included in this exam. You know what I mean? There are those who are truly connected with the Lord. You can see it in their expression. Whether it's hands raised, eyes closed, or bouncing to the beat, they're into worship. It's more than music for them. I thought to myself before, why isn't this a party? Why are we screaming so loud at the football game on Friday night or a concert on Saturday night, yet on Sunday morning, some of us can barely stay awake for an hour or so we were there. We should be celebrating. We are privileged to gather together without fear of arrest. We are children of the living God. He said, I recently saw this video that caused me to stop and think about our enthusiasm or lack thereof. How do we expect people to feel welcome or encouraged if we aren't enthusiastic about being with God? We have been given the best gift ever. Why are we not celebrating that more? And I think that's a great wrap-up to our Strong Courage Over Fear series. Actually, a great intro to what this person, special person, will be talking about next week. We need to celebrate all that God is doing in our lives and the life of this church. We need to be excited about what God has in store for us in the future. We can be strong and courageous. We don't have to be terrified or discouraged because God will be there right there wherever we go. He's actually guiding our steps if we would just take the steps. And so when God asks us to chase a God-sized dream, we can do it because the outcome doesn't depend on our abilities, but only on God. And when God shows up and shows off, we throw a huge party. And we get excited about what he's doing. We celebrate. And we let everyone know what an awesome God we serve. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for the story of Joshua. And we thank you for the promises that are found in this book, Father. The fact that we can have strength, we can be strong and courageous. We don't have to fear, we don't have to be discouraged because you are right there with us wherever we go. And God, when you show up and show off, we need to celebrate. Some of us, you just need to breathe some life back into us. Because it's like we're walking around spiritually dead. And you need to breathe that excitement back into our lives, the fact that you died on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and you were buried, and then 3 days later, the grave couldn't hold you. And you rose again. You conquered death so that we could one day conquer death as well. And if that doesn't excite people, man, nothing. I don't know what could excite. Father, help us to be a people who celebrate what you're doing in our lives, the life of this church, and people's lives out in the community. So that way when people are like, man, whenever I'm around you, you're just always excited. What's the deal? What's the deal? I serve an amazing God. And if you don't know him, I would love to tell you about him. Father, we thank you for everything you're doing in our lives and the life of this church. Continue to push us forward, Father. Help us to truly take the words that you said to Joshua. Hey, you may be a little bit older, but you still got a lot of work to do. And we got a lot of work to do here at FBC. A lot of work. And we can only accomplish the work if everyone gets involved. It can't be the same 10, 15 people doing all the work. Everybody needs to get involved. Father, help us to be a people that encourage each other and push each other forward. Help us to be a people that as iron sharpens iron, Father. As we come against each other, we sharpen each other and we push each other forward. As we pursue you more in our lives and as we pursue people in this community and tell them what an amazing God, Jehovah, the God of Israel, the one true God that we serve. Father, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.